Amen. Good morning, Fellowship Church. You can go on and be seated on your couches. It's okay. Welcome. I am so glad that you could join us this morning. He has risen. All right. Now, bless the Lord, but you didn't do it quite right. See, I say he has risen, and you say there in your living room, he has risen indeed. Let's try it again. He has risen. I just don't feel like you were really into it on that time, okay? I want you to be enthusiastic about this. Let's try it one more time. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
He has risen indeed. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the glorious hope that we have in heaven because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. But today, we celebrate the reason we have entrance into heaven. Christ has risen from the dead. Praise the Lord. Is there anything more exciting to celebrate? Now, I know this morning we're a little bit sad because we are not meeting in the parking lot of Kohl's the way that we had planned to meet. Well, Christ had other plans for us. And the Lord wants you in your living room for another Sunday to worship with your family, to be getting things right with each other, to be practicing at home and preparing for the day when he brings us back together. But I don't want you to worry too much because we've gotten into this new technology with our church that actually enables me this morning to see you in your living room. And so I'm so grateful. No, it's okay. No, don't worry. I do like the color of your pajamas. That's okay. You don't have to be worried. You look fine without your makeup. You don't have to run and change. Okay, obviously, I'm making this up. We don't have the technology here in the church. Why do you cringe when I say that I see you in your living room? Because man looks at the outward appearance. But God, this morning, is looking at your heart. What does he see when he looks into your heart? Does that make you squirm? Does that make you cringe just a little bit? Boy, my prayer for you this morning is that you would let God gaze deeply into your heart, that you would let him reveal the areas of your heart that need to be transformed, that you would allow him to convict you of things that you need to be convicted of so that he can transform you into the man, into the woman that God wants you to be in Christ Jesus. Now, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ for good reason because Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. Now, what does that mean, right? Well, read the Bible about it, right? Because this is the story of the good news of Scripture. You see, the Bible is very specific when Jesus is crucified on the cross. It says in the Old and New Testament that he took our sins upon him. Can you imagine that just for me? Jesus, when he was crucified on the cross, he took all of my sins as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, now in the middle age. Am I middle age? As wherever I am right now, even my sins in my future, he took those upon himself on the cross. And he had the power as the Son of God, not only to take my own sins, but to take all of your sins, past, present, and future, the sins of the entire world upon his shoulders on that cross. In fact, Scripture says in 2 Corinthians that he became our sin upon that cross. Why? So that we could become the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there's two things in life that none of us can ever avoid. We can't avoid sin. Everybody is guilty of it. Everybody falls into it. That's why it was so important for Christ to take that sin upon our lives. And what is the result of sin in us? It leads to our death. So what happened to Christ when he took our sin upon himself? The very thing that happens to you and that happens to me in our sin, Jesus died upon that cross. Sin leads to death. And church, that's what makes the resurrection of Jesus the most important foundational thing for us as Christians. You see, just 3 days after his death on that cross, Jesus came marching out of that tomb alive and victorious. What was he victorious over? Sin and even death itself. The very things that you and I can never avoid, that we can't escape, Jesus conquered for us. So listen then, by faith in Jesus, when we walk with him, we walk in the power of one who has victory over sin and over death. That's the power of the resurrection. This morning, are you walking in that power? Are you experiencing it in your daily life? With your kids, with your wife, with your husband, at work, whether that's digital work or you're still going into work, are you walking in the resurrection power of Jesus? How do I do that, Jonathan? You know, there's only one reason why you're not walking in the power of Jesus. It's belief. You know, there's some of you that are watching this right now. You've never believed in your heart that Jesus was crucified for your sins. You've never believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You've never believed in that event that totally and radically changed the world 2,000 years ago so that even our lives today are completely different because of it. If that's you, I would tell you this. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Believe and be saved and see if his power can be at work in your life. You know, there's others of you hearing me this morning that would say, Jonathan, I believe that he died for my sins and I believe that he rose from the dead, but I still struggle living in the power of the resurrection. Do you know it still comes down to belief in us daily? Believing and understanding what he accomplished for us so many years ago. So for those of us who are still struggling, wondering, how do I walk in this power? I want to give you 7 tips this morning on walking in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at this story from 2,000 years ago in Luke chapter 24 and verses 1 through 12 and see what happened on that day that was so important to our faith. In verse 1, the Bible says this, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." And now, who is they? Who was going to this tomb? Well, we actually see it right before this verse, at the end of chapter 23. In verse 55, it says, "The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid." So a group of women went to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and saw where Jesus was laid. Now, it's these same women that have waited until after the high Sabbath and after the Sabbath day then to go on this first day of the week on Sunday morning and finish the work that needed to be done to have Jesus be laid to rest the way that was Jewish custom. Now we see, even in verse 10, the names of these women. Now, what is the one name that always comes to mind of a woman when we talk about the resurrection of Jesus? It's Mary Magdalene. Right? The Gospel of John makes a big deal about Mary Magdalene in the resurrection of Jesus. So if we look in verse 10, it says, "Now these women, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James." Now I'm going to tell you that's the mother of Jesus also. "And the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." So there's a group of women right here with Mary Magdalene. Why is this important for you and me this morning? Because this is not the way we would choose for the story to go out about the resurrection of Jesus. These are not the people, if I were to write the story, who should be the first to witness the resurrection of Jesus. What am I talking about? These ladies aren't important in society. If you want the word to go out strongly, then it should have been a Roman centurion. It should have been somebody like Pontius Pilate. It should have been somebody with authority in the world that everybody would believe their testimony. But who are these women? I mean, we learn in Luke chapter 8 that Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out of her when she first met Jesus. These aren't high quality, right? What changed about these women? Jesus changed their lives one at a time with his power. Now I'm going to tell you that God took these women and he transformed them through the power of his resurrection. That he transformed them. In fact, as we see the church unfold in the book of Acts, even these women will play an important role in the gospel message and in the transformation of so many lives. So why is that important to us? Because if God can transform these women, he can transform you. If God can use these women to get out the most important story that the world has ever heard, then he wants to use you with his resurrection power. He wants his power to be on display in your life. I want us to see this story this morning through the eyes of these women. I want us to ask, what did they do in this garden so many years ago? Because you're sitting there right now saying, I don't think God's going to use me because I'm nothing. Then be inspired by their story. They were nothing, except the power of Jesus was at work in their lives. So here's 7 tips on what did they do. Look in this first verse that we just read. It was Sunday morning, what we call Sunday morning, the first day of the week. It was early dawn. They were prepared. In fact, they had been waiting for this moment to go to Jesus. And here's the first tip we can understand from their behavior. Let's not be lazy in serving Jesus. Don't be lazy in serving him. It would be naive of us to think that God would trust us with his glory if we're choosing to be lazy all the time. Church, that's not the way we serve Jesus. We give him everything that we are. And he takes that sacrifice of who we are and he ignites it for his glory. We're going to see him do that with these women, but we see them not being lazy. Look here in verse 2. So the women come into the garden, and it says, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, 2 men stood by them in dazzling apparel. So these women have an agenda, right? They're going to go and finish the preparation for the body of Jesus. So they stroll into that garden, and not everything is the way that they thought it was going to be, right? What they were expecting to find was different. Oh, I wonder how many times in our life what our expectations to find became different when we actually showed up to do what we were planning to do. But these women, when they found something different, they didn't run away, right? They were trying to find Jesus. That was their purpose. Let me find Jesus. They go into this tomb looking for him. You know, I remember when I was much younger and about to be married with Elizabeth, having these great ideals for the way that our life would be shaped. And man, I praise the Lord for my family and the way that God has even used this time in the last few weeks for us to bond together and pray with one another more than we had been doing before. But for some reason, maybe I'd watched too many corny movies or something, but I had this vision that, man, our children, even as teenagers, every night we're going to be circled up in the living room, we're going to be holding hands, my children are just going to be telling each other how much they love each other and they get along, they might even, you know, be giving a little shoulder rub to each other, and we're going to pray together, maybe shed some tears, all the while that the cookies being baked in the oven, that smell is just wafting past us, right? So maybe the expectation was a little stupid to begin with, So often, when we meet reality in life, we think that Jesus isn't with us because our expectations looked different. But it's our responsibility to find Jesus in those moments and see what he's doing to work in our lives and to have his way in our lives. What did these women do when they were confronted with that moment? They were just perplexed by the things of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that they sat there. They stood there in that moment and they were dwelling on the events that were before them and dwelling on Jesus. Man, if I could give you one tip this morning, here's the second one. It would be to dwell on the things of Jesus. Don't dwell on the things that are going wrong. Don't dwell on the things that are different than the way that you expected. Dwell on Jesus. You know, we've stopped watching the news in our house for the most part. I'll click on a website and I'll get the latest thing that I need to or read. Why have I stopped watching the news? Because I'm sick and tired of being told to wash my hands and to stand 6 feet away from everybody. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not making light of the situation that we're in, and we need to be safe. I get that, right? But the news isn't changing. And what's happening in our society right now is that everybody is dwelling on COVID-19 and on this coronavirus. And what is it producing in our world? It's producing fear. It's producing crazy paranoia in a lot of people. It's producing fear that maybe God isn't God anymore. Are you kidding me? Do you think really that God is surprised by this coronavirus? Okay, so maybe our Easter service doesn't look the way that we had expected it to look. Church, God is still on his throne. Jesus is still Lord. And so many of us have been gripped by fear because instead of dwelling on Jesus, we're choosing to dwell on the negative stuff that's happening. Listen, the news is important to understand what's going on. But if you're sitting on your couch dwelling on these things day in and day out and fear has gripped you, it's no wonder that it has. Hear what's going on in the world and then invest your time dwelling on the one who saved us from our sins, on the one who's conquered sin and death himself, and see if the life of Jesus doesn't come bubbling out of your heart and out of your mouth. That's the hope that our world needs in Jesus Christ. That hope is going to come through you. These women were dwelling on Jesus, and look what happened. The glory of God showed up before them. The glory of God in the form of these two angels. Here in verse 4, it says, while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and they bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Praise the Lord. What a short, amazing, incredible message from these angels. Why do you seek the living one? Do you recognize that that's a name for Jesus? It didn't just say, why do you seek a living person? No, why do you seek the living one? That's who he is the living one. Jesus is alive. Are you looking for life? Are you tired of hearing about death every single day? If you're looking for life, then look to Jesus Christ. He is the living one. What if these ladies had ignored the angels? What if they had just said, oh, no, I'm sure his body is laid over here behind the tree. Oh, I'm sure if I walk over here behind these other tombstones that I'm going to see Jesus. What if they had ignored the message of the angels? We say today, well, Jonathan, that's so stupid. They were angels. We would have listened to angels. Would we really? I wonder how many times we've been searching for life among the dead. Church, if you haven't found life in these Netflix movies you've been watching over the last 3 weeks, you're not going to find it in them if you haven't found it already. If you haven't found life in your son and in your daughter, in your wife and your husband, I've got news for you. You're never going to find it in them. Life was created by God Almighty, and it's His intention for us to find our life in Him and in Him alone. That's the only place that we're going to find life. Now, I love my wife and I love my sons and my daughters as much as anything else in this world, more than anything else in this world. To be honest with you, I love them, but they are not my life. They're a blessing from God that we get to live our life in Him together. Oh, and you need to understand the difference this morning. Do you believe the words of these angels? You see, the job of Jesus Christ is to be life for you and for me. That's not your job. You can't produce life on your own. You can't stir it up from things that only bring death in you, right? Your job is to find Jesus, to grab a hold of Him, and to walk with Him in your life in every circumstance, whether you're on a mountaintop or a valley low. You find Him and let His life transform you. Here's a third tip for you this morning. Let God's word impact you above all else. That's what these ladies did with this word of God from the angels. What does that mean for us today? Does it mean to wait for two angels to appear to you? No, because we have something that is even greater than the angels. We have the word of God. Now, sometimes the angels were at work in helping transmit the word of God to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the very words of God. What does that mean for us? Spend time in this book. Spend time in the word. Pray through the word of God. Understand it. Believe it. A few years ago, my son Ethan and I got to build a tree house near my parents' house. They live on a ranch outside of Burnet. And when we were exploring the area, trying to find the right trees to build a treehouse in, we climbed up into several live oak trees. And it was about this time of the year in the springtime, and I climbed up in the tree where there's that pollen, and I didn't know it when it happened to me, but I ran into what I would describe as a little bitty caterpillar with pokey, poiky, sharp thingies sticking out of him, okay? It's a tree asp is what it's officially called. And man, that thing, I was wearing shorts and it just got a hold of my kneecap right here. Maybe my shorts were too short. That's another discussion all in itself, but it just got a hold of my kneecap right here. And I had thought a knife blade had just cut through me. And you know, I'm a weenie already when it comes to physical pain probably. And so God had me marry a nurse and I climbed down that tree and I had to get to my nurse wife and she had no sympathy whatsoever, right? No, she nursed me back to health. The problem was we weren't finished scouting out the area for our treehouse. We had to go look back in that stinking tree one more time. You better believe I saw that tree differently when we returned to it, right? Every limb could have been an enemy. I started thinking, you mean this tree is not my friend? Where are those little things? They blend in with the leaves so well. It was really, really frustrating to me. Listen, we view the world differently because of the Word of God. It's gotten a hold of us. It changes us so that we see every person and everything through the lens of the Word of God. We see people in this way. Do you know these people that are suffering with the coronavirus are suffering out of fear of the coronavirus? They need Jesus. We see them in that lens. If you're in HEB and a person 6 feet away from you coughs, don't look at them like, what are you doing at HEB getting everybody else sick? Look at them with the love of Jesus. Talk to them, right? This isn't some zombie apocalypse. Talk to them, even 6 feet away. Share the hope that you have in Jesus Christ that's in your life. Look in verse 6. These angels tell the women, He is not here, but He is risen. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee. You know, so many times Jesus prepared these women and his disciples by saying, I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to rise again. He prophesied about it so many times. And these angels tell him, hey, remember what he told you. I want to tell you that this morning too. Remember what Jesus has said and done. Do you know Jesus prepared them for this very moment on Sunday morning? He prepared them through his actions and through his words. And as they remembered, it says, we remember what Jesus told us about this. You know, church, as I remember the cross, just like we sang about earlier this morning, I remember that shame has no place in my heart because of my sin, because Jesus has died for my sin. And my sin has been crucified with Christ. Man, as I remember just stories about Jesus, I remember him feeding the 5,000 and then later subsequently feeding 4,000 people. And I remember those stories and I remember that God is my source of provision. That I don't live by bread alone, but I live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, as I remember the story of Jesus calming the wind and the waves with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee, I remember that he can calm worry and fear in my own heart, that he can speak to my own life, and those things become still in silence. Look in verse 7. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of God must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. What are they remembering? What are the angels telling them? They're telling them the full gospel of Jesus. So remember it in its fullness, right? We humble ourselves with the crucifixion of Jesus. We leave our sins crucified on the cross of Jesus, and then we rise and walk in the power of the resurrection. Now, I know so many of you have crosses around your neck or cross jewelry. If you were to walk into our house, you would see probably 25 to 30 crosses hanging on the walls in different rooms of our house. The cross is very important, but hear this, it's only half of the story. The reason we put crosses that are empty on our walls, that don't have Jesus on them, is because he's still not on the cross. But he rose from the dead, and he's victorious over sin and death itself. So here's the fifth tip to you. Now, the angels reminded these women to walk in the full gospel of Jesus. Now, this is why the picture of baptism is so important to us, because baptism is the full picture that I've been crucified and buried and risen from the dead. That is a picture of the gospel of Jesus. Look in verse 9. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. What are they doing? They're testifying about the work of Jesus in their life. What's my tip to you? Testify about the work of Jesus in your life. I don't know how many phases of isolation you've experienced with your family over the last few weeks, right? At first, we saw it as a blessing for sure. Woo, it's a blessing, and we loved each other the first night, right? Maybe the second night, some boredom set in. Maybe then we realize we've got games in the closet that we haven't played for years. Let's bring those out. And then a few nights later, we realize we've already played all of our games and we don't want to play those games anymore. Then we got on a mad cleaning spell. Have you already been that way? Right? We've cleaned out every closet in our house. We are prepared for the greatest garage sale in the history of the world when everybody that's cleaned out their house all has a garage sale at the same time. It's going to be fabulous. An intermittent boredom has set in. Have you gone through these phases? Maybe then some more cleaning. Maybe now you're in a creative phase. We're painting pictures. We're writing songs, right? Our family is into that creative phase. Do you know what stood out to me through these phases of isolation? It's the way that people post about it on Facebook. I love some of these posts, right? I love the things that you're saying that your family is doing. But what about Jesus in the middle of that? You know, we're willing to testify about the creative dinner that we made because we weren't able to get the supplies at the grocery store that we needed. We're willing to post all of these fun memes about paying for things with toilet paper and that becoming the new currency, right? We're willing to post all of these cool creative poses about things that we're doing in our house. What are we saying about Jesus to a world that needs Jesus? You see, the number one thing of these women, once they knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, was who can I tell about this work? Oh, we need to testify about the work of Jesus. You see, they come running to the disciples, right? To people who you would think, these are the people who will understand their testimony. But look in verse 11. But these words seemed to the apostles an idle tale. And they did not believe them. The apostles didn't believe them. Matthew, he's not believing. Thomas, well, we know he's not believing, right? These disciples weren't even believing their message. But even in adversity, they testified. Church, even in adversity, we continue with the message of Jesus. It doesn't let, don't let adversity deter you. So what did Peter do, right? What did impetuous, I got to find out for myself, I'm gonna open my mouth and insert my foot, Peter do in this moment? He went to see for himself. The Gospel of John says that John the Beloved also went with Peter. He went to see for himself. Look in verse 12, it says, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Do you know my suggestion to you this morning? It's the last tip of our day. See for yourself. See for yourself. Run to the tomb. See if it's still empty. Seek Jesus while you can find him. Worship him in the splendor of his holiness. Walk with him, whether you're at home or you're at work, or you're at school, believe in him. He has risen. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And I pray that however you've received this message this morning, that the Holy Spirit would be at work in your heart. I pray that you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, and that in that belief, you would walk in the power of the resurrection. And I pray that you would take the next few moments after this broadcast and spend time with your family discussing the resurrection of Jesus Christ, praying together and seeking the Lord together as a family. Father, we thank you for this moment that you have given us today to be encouraged about your life at work within us. Father, give us the courage to not be lazy, but to seek you and to dwell on you and to trust your word for the simplicity of what it says and to testify to others about the glorious work of Jesus Christ in our life. Father, in these moments, as we pray together and as we discuss these things together, be glorified in our discussion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.